Good morning. God's peace to each and every one of you. Nice to see you all here. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. I love that song. And chose it very much from the aspect of Apostle Paul in Ephesians speaks so often how he prays for all those who believe. He prays for those that are in the good fight, if you could say it in that aspect. So for this, the sixth Sunday after Easter, we'll be reading from Ephesians, so you can remain seated and relax. Ephesians, we're going to continue in the theme, and in chapter 3, verse 14 through 21, reading in Jesus' name. Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the depth, the length, and the breadth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us as we look at your word. We ask that you would allow your word to speak and men in flesh to be silent. Encourage us in and through this word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is another one of those texts that somebody highlighted in the Bible that I use to keep track of all our sermons. And I thought it was very interesting and a very powerful part of Scripture. Ephesians is an awesome book. We often find that a lot of individuals, a lot of different groups will take it far out of context, especially because this book really speaks about predestination. And so, if you turn around and you ask me as a pastor, do I believe in predestination, I'm going to say absolutely. But the problem is that then we lose on definition. See, I don't believe in dual predestination. I don't believe in this aspect of God destined some for heaven and some for hell. That would make God, in reality, author of evil, and I don't see that. But I do believe Ephesians speaks very powerfully and very boldly that God destined a path of salvation for each and every one of us in and through Jesus Christ. That's really what it speaks. It still does not lose sight of the aspect of faith by grace. Ephesians talks about it. It's the text that we quote, isn't it? We deal with it in chapter 2. We see verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. God has given in reality. For Christ Jesus, in your behalf. So he says, really, I am a slave for Jesus Christ in your behalf. And my job is to share with you that great gospel. And this is huge because he's speaking to a bunch of Gentiles. He's speaking to me. I'm not Jewish. Maybe you are. And kudos, wonderful. I'm not. So I'm outside of that first group. See, and this is where Paul really now explodes it. Being a Pharisee of Pharisee, being a zealot in reality for the children of Israel, now he is exposed. His position has changed by the finished work of Jesus Christ, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now he is to bring the word to the Gentiles, those that he would never, ever mix with before. This is God. God is so powerful, he can blow past all our boundaries. So he says very plainly, I am a prisoner. And he continues with that theme, talking about how now he will preach and he will bring this word of reconciliation. He says now, picking up in our text, because we've got to get rolling here, for this cause, now I bow on my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am in reality praying for you. This is a very interesting style of prayer that he's offering here. Because even in the Israelites' understanding, they would pray hands open standing. But it shows the intensity, the intimacy that he has even in our behalf. That he would in reality be in this position to pray for the people. Can you think about the change of mind here? Even for a moment. Of how God so drastically changed Saul, Paul. That yet when he would not even mingle with a Gentile in his own understanding. How now he is on his knees in prayer in behalf of the Gentiles. Jesus even says that he will suffer many things for my name's sake. Sometimes, especially in Ephesians, we look at the aspect where he's stoned. He's beaten and left outside the city gates of Ephesus. And we think, well, that's the thing that he's going to suffer. And, yeah, most likely, that wasn't fun. Literally, they beat him with stones so bad, they thought he was dead. And they dragged his carcass outside of the city walls and left him there. And his followers were standing over him. They were just sitting there looking. I can't walk away anymore. So you guys pin me down. Ooh. It's going to be hard. So, they're standing looking over him like, he's dead. And he gets up. He says, let's go back. That's perseverance. He wants to reach these people. He wants to reach these people. And that was a struggle, no doubt, going through those physical beatings. But I want you to think about it. His whole understanding was changed from childhood up. To separate himself was natural. Do you think it was a challenge? Do you think it was a challenge for him to step outside of the bounds of what he's known all his life, what he was raised in, to now be the one that would mingle, that would eat, that would pray, that would touch Gentiles? I think these are the things that he suffered, going against everything that was traditionally taught to him. Ceremonially taught to him. That is a conversion. So he says, I'm continually on my knees praying to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, really, of who the whole family of heaven is named. How does that take place? Chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 read in this fashion. For he is our peace, talking about Jesus the Christ, who hath made both one. There is no more division, is what he's saying. He has made both one, talking about family, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There is no separation anymore between the Israelite and the Gentile. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, that was against us, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, so also making peace. We talk about family, and isn't that what family is about? Family really is to accept individuals, even though you may differ in so many different areas. Now you're talking to a man that was raised under the strict understanding of the Israelites, that had no contact with any outside of the camp. And now he is understanding there is no difference. What a powerful thing. So he's praying in behalf of this whole family, of all of us in Jesus Christ. What's he praying for? What does Paul pray for? Does he pray that they will do the right thing? That they will wear their clothing in a certain way? That they will follow a certain system? Does he pray that they'll get the right baptism, the right amount of tongues, the right amount of this or that or whatever else? Is that what he's praying for? It's not to belittle any of these things that God has given as gift. But sometimes we use them as our hobby horse. He says, he's praying that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit would grant you, to give to you according to his riches. How rich is God? I think it's endless. Not just in monetary value, as we often like to look at riches. But he's rich in grace. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in strength, might, and glory. That he would grant you the riches of his glory. For what purpose? To be strengthened. To be encouraged. To be immovable. In a day and age that we live in, could we not use this? When we turn around and we look and we're bombarded by so many different theologies, so many different ideas, so many different regulations, wouldn't it be awesome to be encouraged in Jesus Christ? We talk about living above influences in our life, no doubt about it. But what influence? It's not just for narcotics or different things like that. Living above the influence of this world. That it would not change our vision of who God is. He says, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I think that's so amazing. How in reality he speaks about this aspect of we are partakers of God. Through Jesus Christ, by faith, through grace. That we now have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. He says, wow, this is what I'm praying for you. He's praying for those in Ephesus. He's praying, in all honesty, for those that would hear by that word. And in my heart, I believe very strongly that he prays for the future generation that brings us all the way here to Hancock, Michigan. Paul believed. Paul cared. Paul prayed. But most of all, Paul knew the mercy and the strength of God our Father. He knew of the undying love of Jesus Christ. He knew of the powerful, immense gift of the Holy Spirit that would be given to his believers. And he prayed that it would continue. He says that the Spirit would be in the inner man, and it doesn't stop there, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? Not by the works you can produce, not by the great acts that we will do, not by any of these things. He says that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith. That now you, and it says it in the plural, so all of us, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? Law? Struggle? Rule? Regulation? Isn't that how we like to control the masses? He says, actually, he says that you would be grounded in love. That you would receive and know this love that God has for you. That being rooted, being grounded in His love, that you may be able to comprehend with all those saints, all those that are set apart for His purpose, sanctified. He says, what is in reality the breadth, the length, the depth, or the height? To know just how immense God's love is for us. If God did not spare His own Son for us, what else will He not give us? To understand that. And I don't know how to bring that out for you. I wish I could. I wish there could be a way that somehow I could just take, and like, you know, when you got your lawnmower out for the first time in the spring, you pull the oil cap off and you see it's a little low, just to pour some more in. I can't do that for you. But you do need it. You need to check. And if you're low, you need to put some in. How do you do that? See, I want to walk right now and I can't, so. How do you do that? How does faith come? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing of what? The Word of God. See? You're coming here today because Paul, in reality, generations ago, and many others, and continued all the way through to your parents, your grandparents, whoever it may be, and prayed that we would have this desire to hear the Word of God, that we may be filled. We may think that's trivial. It's not trivial. I don't care what business we're in this worldly life, what we often do if we're going to be successful in it is we take a good intake of all that we need to know of the information of that business. We do. And if you don't, you're probably not running the most successful business. If you don't know your product, if you don't know the latest techniques, if you don't know these things, then you're going to be struggling with your competition. So we take it on a worldly standpoint that we can do this in all parts of our life. We'll learn the latest trades in building. We'll learn the latest, you know, gizmos that we have to offer. We go to trade shows. We read on the internet. We do all kinds of research. Because we know our business is like a machine and it needs input to be able to continue. So now, let's stop talking about the earthly and let's talk about our life. Do we understand the depth, the breadth, the height of God's love in our life? Are we low? Then we come to the hearing of the Word that we may be filled, be encouraged. And it's not just in a church service. We come to the hearing of the Word when we get up in the morning and we have coffee and we read the Scripture and allow it to speak into our lives because our tank is low. We take these moments to be encouraged, and this is what Paul prayed for each and every one of us. This is what I believe the Christian parents pray for each and every one of their children. That they would take the time to receive. If we do it in our earthly life, if we do it in our business life, if we learn what great mortars work with what product, or if we learn the greatest way to build something, or what shingle offers the best life. If we learn, I'm looking at Gail, about the latest and best furniture in the world. Or the best oils. The best epoxies. The best way to make great food in large quantities. Do we also take the time to learn of this? To be filled. Paul says, I'm praying for you that you'll be strengthened, that you'll be strengthened by the Spirit for the inner man, that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, that you'd be grounded, that you'd be rooted in His love, that you may be able to actually comprehend, come to an understanding with all the saints, all those that are set apart for His purpose, about how great the love of Christ is. And to know the love of Christ, he says, that passes all understanding. That passes surpasses in reality all other understanding. That's important. To actually know the love of Jesus Christ that gives us all understanding. Everything else fails in comparison. You might say, well, how do you come to that?
Well, first, the Word says.
But second of all, if we were only to focus on what the world has to offer, we can be quite often dismayed, discouraged, downright depressed. But we can overcome the struggles of the world, of the day-to-day, of the mundane, of whatever it may be, by knowing how loved we are. As we would teach the children and we'd say, well, we're a child of a king, to understand no matter what this world throws at us, we are more than conquerors. That there is victory. This is what encourages us when we lose money in our oil business, our furniture business, our construction business, whatever it may be. We face these trials, these struggles. We know that there's people that are hurting with addiction as we pray. There's people that are hurting in marriage, but we can overcome these things. And we point them to Jesus Christ to give them the strength to overcome these things. It's all about knowing Him. But if our tank is low, where do we go? Do we turn to the world? No disrespect for the doctors in the medical field, but do we turn to them? Say, give me a pill. They've legalized marijuana now. Maybe we can get baked and not think about it. Definitely will mellow you out. But does it take care of the problem? Or is it just hype? Is it hype? And you wake up to reality tomorrow morning and realize it's still there. He says, I wish that you would know how loved you are. I wish, and if I could translate this a different way, this is what I would say. I wish, Paul says, that you would know how valuable you are. Your circumstances are minor compared to how much love is there for you. He says, to have this knowledge of Jesus Christ that passes all understanding through whatever you may be going through, I added that part. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. When you have the fullness of God, you are the richest, the brightest, the most confident, the most encouraged, the healthiest. Because it's not about this life. He says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. Do we turn to Him? He can do way more than we ask for. I've been in reality with people that are laying on their deathbed and they've prayed for healing. They've prayed for healing and they've asked me to pray for healing. And we do, we pray. And they've received way more than they could ever imagine. Because they received full restoration in heaven. Heaven is not a consolation prize. You've heard me say it 100 times. And I will go to my death saying this. For the believer in Jesus Christ, may we never see it as a consolation prize. That God is able to do abundantly more than we ever dreamed. I'm not trying to have a morbid understanding of this, but do we not realize that upon our last breath, we will receive all the eternal reward. There will be no more hospitals, no more suffering, no more pain, no more financial anguish, no more wondering to keep that truck or get rid of it. There will be none of this stuff. We will be provided for. We will never hunger. We will never thirst. The sun will never beat on us in a harsh way. We will have all that we ever dreamed of. I'm kind of jealous of that one. But it's a good jealousy. Desire to be with them. He says He is able to do abundantly all of what we ever have thought or asked for. He says, even what we thought, according to the power that worketh in us, by the power of that Holy Spirit, He says, unto Him, and this is where He praises, He says, so for this purpose, because God is able, God is willing, He says, unto Him be all glory in the church. That the church would proclaim this glory, He says, by Jesus Christ, throughout all the ages, the world without Him. Amen. Our God is good. He is so good that He gives more than we could ever expect. He is so good that He gives beyond our even imagination. It says whatever we think. But are we willing to say God's will be done? Is it what I want? Or is it what He wants? For God be the glory. Amen. Let's unite hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity. We pray, Father, that You would be with each and every one that is here today. Whatever we may be going through, may we always look to You. May we know the fullness of Your love, of Your mercy, of Your grace. Oh yes, Father, as humans we want to bring out that righteousness. But Father, it is an imputed righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our behalf. We pray that You would strengthen us even in that. Father, as we face the week, allow us to be ambassadors of Your gospel. Allow us to strengthen those around us and be encouraged. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.